Sometimes all of you were there, but it didn't seem like anybody was paying attention. And then, amazingly enough, we would tune our radio in. We'd go searching there for 92.1. And sometimes at night, amazingly enough, we'd get home after a long day of protest and a long day of rallying, and we'd flip that clicker at our television. Well, first we'd figure out how to use the two clickers, and then finally we'd click it, and we'd go CNN. Oh, no, that's not any good. No, that's a good CNBC. No, I'm not getting anything out of that. We'd go, okay, Fox. Oh, my gosh, no, not that. And then finally we'd land on MSNBC. And I'm not telling you MSNBC is perfect, but on those nights there was something perfect because there was this guy from up in North Dakota. Oh my gosh, he was a big guy. He was a tall guy. He looked like a football player. He could have played on this field right here. And this guy from North Dakota, he would tell our story every night. And the amazing thing about it was he couldn't resist our struggle. And so he got those cameras. He got those crews out of New York City. He said, come on, we're going to Madison. We're going to tell the story from the streets in Madison. Brothers and sisters, I write books about media. I write books about how our media damages our democracy. But sometimes in the midst of all that hell, there's a little bit of heaven. Sometimes in the midst of all that decay, there's something wonderful growing up. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, when Ed Schultz showed up here in Madison, Wisconsin, something wonderful happened. This whole country tuned into our struggle. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the tribune of our struggle, Ed Schultz.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's great to be in Madison. I'm giving you a standing ovation. You're wonderful Americans, and it's been great over the years to be associated with you, to see your heart and your passion and your desire. We were right all along about that jackass, weren't we? I don't know, when you're down at 1%, you're about ready to get fired. I'm waiting for Trump to tell him that. You're fired. Well, as I'm sure all of you know, that I'm at a kind of a different platform right now in life. And life goes on, and it's amazing what life throws at you. I want to thank all of you for your prayers, for my wife, Wendy's... back at fighting cancer, and we're in a clinical trial in New York now. And we're going to get this thing done. It's just another curveball, but I certainly appreciate all your prayers and all your wonderful comments here. I've been backstage here today meeting a lot of you again, and I just appreciate your sincerity. You know, I get emotional when I think about Wisconsin. And what John was talking about when we were in that fight together back in the winter of 2011, I knew what was going on in Wisconsin was morally wrong. I knew it was wrong to attack a person's voice in the workplace. I knew it was wrong to attack their freedom of speech and try to limit their income and limit their ability to do things. And it was just so opposed to everything we've ever been through as Americans that made this country great. And so if you were willing to fight, I was willing to fight. And we're going to win this thing. And now look where we are. We now have a candidate who's never run a negative ad, who will not say something negative about any opponent, who will not take PAC money, and speaks truth to power, and is focused, just like you were focused back then, on the issues and what matters. I come from the middle class. I'm the last of five. I'm a product of public education. My dad was an aeronautical engineer at the Norfolk Naval Air Station. My mother was a high school English teacher. I grew up during the Vietnam War. We had very interesting conversations at the dinner table. If it wasn't the Pope, it was Walter Cronkite. So I heard it all. I'm a product of force busing for racial equality. And 45 years later, we're still fighting these battles. But nothing's lost until you give up. And there's something about the Badger Country, you know how not to give up. We're all in this for something greater than ourselves. And we're all in this because we want to leave our kids and our grandkids something better than what we had. And right now, what's at the front door is opportunity. And are we going to leave our kids and our grandkids the same opportunities that we had, the same freedoms, the same voice? And I have to say that's all in jeopardy right now unless we stay engaged and move forward. Having lived it, having gotten the bills in the mail from Sloan Kettering in New York, $22,000 for this treatment. $11,000 for this treatment, $7,000 to see this doctor because my wife got cancer. What happens to the people that don't have the insurance? We're one of the lucky ones. The Schultz family's lucky. I've been employed for a long time, and it's going to continue. But what happens to those Americans out there that don't have that resource? You need to know and examine in your heart and understand exactly what is going on in Washington. There is a political party in this country that has voted to take insurance away from Americans who are sick. If you think that is America's moral compass, then you're not an American. And I'll stand here and tell you that. They're so proud to say, well, we're going to get rid of Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act or whatever the hell you want to call it. The very day they had a Republican debate just the other night, it was in the news that afternoon. 9 million more people in this country have got health insurance. My wife and I looked at one another and said, well, how many lives have been saved? Is it worth one life? 5? 10? 1,000? I'll tell you what it's worth. It's worth my wife's life. And when you live it, and you see people have an opportunity in a country that can reach greater greatness than we have now, and we can do better than what we're doing, when you live that, no apology. You get a little mean. You get mad dog mean. You get pissed off. You say this is wrong, and I want to do something about it. Trade. If you followed my career, you know that I believe in American workers. I believe in collective bargaining. I believe that unions played a huge part in building this great country. I got it, and I know you know the story. I like to hunt and fish. I got a buddy of mine, he was a bricklayer for 30 years. Ricky Grandboy, we call him Woody, lives in Hawley, Minnesota, 20 minutes from Detroit Lakes. He just retired. Bricklayer, union guy. I mean, he'd never been so happy in his life. He goes fishing with Ed. He's got his health care. He's got his pension. The first check they sent him this summer when he retired, they had a note in there, you will receive this at the first of every month for the rest of your life. He worked hard for it. He's got some security. But you know what? That's kind of an America of yesteryear. That's not an America 10 years from now or 20 years from now because we're so consumed with greed. We have a Wall Street economy. We have a service industry. We have paper shuffling. We have robbing going on Wall Street. We have trade deals that are coming down on union workers that will gut American jobs and compete with people on the other side of the world, which Obama says is a pivot to Asia. I don't give a damn about Asia. I care about America. That's what I care about. But I do remember doing the story on TV. Gosh, it'd be nice to see President Obama walk with those folks in Madison. I remember saying that. I remember hearing on the campaign trail, I'll get them my shoes and I'll walk with you on that picket line, but I never saw it. But I know what Bernie Sanders did just a few weeks ago in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. He went to that picket line and he picked up that sign and he walked. There are differences, and there are absolutes. This trade deal, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, will be the worst trade deal that this country has ever embarked upon. It will gut the middle class further, but we can stop it. It's not done yet. And you need to engage to save the American middle class. We don't need to compete with 47-cent labor in Vietnam. That's not... We want to bring them up. But you see, the conservatives, what they do, they'll tell you we're looking for emerging markets. Let me tell you what a Wall Street terminology of emerging market is. An emerging market is finding some poor son of a bitch on the other side of the world that's ready to do your job for nothing. That's what an emerging market is to the conservative media in this country. That's what an emerging market is to a hedge fund manager. And in the meantime, there's that story that we did in Lafayette, Indiana, just before we threw Romney out of the national picture. Sensata sent the jobs overseas. Then we go to Lorain, Ohio, for the tubular steel mill. $300 million has been invested by U.S. Steel into the city of Lorain, Ohio, for tubular steel goods. It's American jobs. It's new technology. We're producing more steel at that time tenfold over the Chinese, tenfold over the South Koreans. But here's the problem. We play by the rules, and they don't. And when I did that story in March of 2014, the big concern from all of the workers was the indiscriminate dumping that they foresaw coming from China and South Korea and a lousy trade agreement that was going to gut jobs. You have not seen this in the media. In Lorain, Ohio, that steel mill is idle today. Well, I thought it was a good story. Hell, it's only American jobs. Our trade deals are so bad, it takes so long for us to file any kind of grievance through the World Trade Organization. It takes a year and a half to get any kind of a hearing. By that time, hell, the jobs are gone. And we sit back and we're about ready to do another deal, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, because we need to freaking pivot to Asia? This is not the same president I voted for and supported. President Obama has not walked with workers. President Obama has not stood up and stopped China from dumping on our market or South Korea. Hell, this is the free market. No, it's not. It's American jobs. My point, there has to be some level of protectionism. There has to be some level of enforcement of fair trade, not free trade and screw trade on American workers. So we have a candidate that does all these things that aren't supposed to work. Not take PAC money, not say anything negative, not run any dirty ads, not, you know, no personal attacks. But all of a sudden, he's kind of winning. Now, either the electoral process is totally screwed up, or we're all stupid, right? No.
This is my family,
Ed. The American people are smart. And the American people understand this is about issues. And when you lose a job, there's a ripple effect within the family. So goes the quality of life. In comes the stress. There goes the health care. Can't pay the taxes. Can't live up to obligations. It's a domino effect. Oh, by the way, Bush told you to go back to a community college. No. We're talking about trained workers who do it better than anybody else in the world. And we deserve a level of protectionism across the board in not just the steel industry, in every industry. You know, I'm not going to stand up here today and tell you anything you don't know. Nobody's going to come in here and wave a magic wand and turn America around. You want to talk about the veterans? You know the story. Want to talk about public education? You know the story. You want to talk about health care? You know the story. So what do we have? We have our heart, our soul, our determination, our vision, our belief system, our moral fiber, and where we want to go as a person, as a human being, as a community, as a region, as a country. Now, I believe that Bernie Sanders has brought something to the arena that has struck the passion of everyone who supports him that they didn't see coming. They didn't see it coming. That's the narrative right now. Well, you know what? He's been talking about the same stuff since I met him in 2008. There's no magic to this stuff. 90-some percent of the American people wanted some kind of background checks. We didn't get it. 90% of the American people want corporations to pay their fair share. We don't seem to get it. The majority of Americans want universal health care, but we can't seem to get it. The American people believe in public education and investment. We want infrastructure investment, but we can't seem to get it. Bernie can't be bought. Bernie can't be bought. And when you ask a question, you don't get a generic answer. He's against the Trans-Pacific Partnership. He's against the Keystone XL pipeline. He wants to break up the big banks on Wall Street. He wants to make sure that your sons and daughters and grandkids can go to college at the University of Madison for free. Don't tell me we can't pay for it, because Dick Cheney told us deficits don't matter. You believe that son of a bitch got a new heart? I can talk like that now. Now think about that. Guy that has 5 deferments, can't suck it up and do what he's got to do for the country, manipulates everything he possibly can through the political process, he gets a new heart. It's good for him, good for his family, but hell, he doesn't want you to have universal health care because you're not as special as Dick Cheney. Is that the America you want to live in? Are you better than your next door neighbor? See what's screwed up about America? Money runs it all. And so we finally have a conversation going in the campaign arena that is completely different. We get straight talk. We get absolutes. out of a candidate who knows what it's going to take to revitalize the middle class in this country and set the table for upward mobility for all Americans. You may be wondering what I'm doing. Well, you can go to my website at wegoted.com. I produce something every single day. It's just like a TV show. It's free. I'm not shaking you down for any money. You don't have to buy anything. And if you go to it, you'll see, hey, that looks, that actually looks like the Ed Show. And I'm going to go back to Lorain, Ohio on the 29th. And I'm going to go to Cleveland, Ohio on the 30th. And I'm going to go to Youngstown, Ohio on October 1st. And I'm going to tell the state of Ohio, wherever I go, that there is a choice. And it's not an out-of-the-mainstream choice. Just because the corporate media doesn't want to warm up to a guy from Vermont. The fact of the matter is, all of the things that Bernie Sanders supports poll in the majority. This is what the people want. And so you may see me bopping around the country supporting Bernie. And so this isn't about who I like or who I've known or who I've had an association with or whatever. But other candidates who want the Democratic nomination don't give me a straight answer on Keystone. They don't give me a straight answer on Trans-Pacific Partnership. They don't give me a straight answer on breaking up the banks on Wall Street. I don't get a straight answer on whether we're going to make corporations not be allowed to park their money offshore and rob our treasury. I mean, look, if you want to save the middle class, you got to have some straight talk from the heartland. You got to have somebody who's going to step up and get frickin' after it, and you got to get energized and go forward with him. And that's where I am. I am a Bernie Sanders guy. I am going to support him. I believe in him. He is the guy that can turn this around. He is the one with the integrity, the vitality. He is the one that will tell the truth. So, my final word to you on this Bob Fest is about working families and unions, and my goal, just as when I spend a lot of time on TV, I spend a lot of time on health care, spend a lot of time on Wisconsin, a lot of time on trade deals. My focus is to defeat the Trans-Pacific Partnership because I know what it's going to do. And I will go around this country and I will explain to the American people, if you haven't been paying attention, that I don't think it's good for our democracy to have an international tribunal be able to make decisions to circumvent the United States Congress and the people you have elected so they can make a profit and you can get screwed. I don't think that's the America we grew up in. I don't think that's the economy we want. And on that issue alone, I don't need any other candidate. I got Bernie, I know where he's at. But all these other folks, now let me give you some family tough talk. Now I realize that Hillary has been great with unions in the past. I got it. Did a hell of a job with the steel workers when she was in the Senate. I understand Joe Biden has a long association with labor as well. Do you know that every single union in this country, not one or two or 10 or five or whatever, all of them across the board are trying to tell our lawmakers no to the Trans-Pacific Partnership, no, our entire AFL-CIO Executive Council, no. But we can't get that answer, but only from one guy who wants to be president, and that's Bernie Sanders. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because there are some candidates that think you can't win the White House without Wall Street. Bullshit. You can win the White House with Main Street, and that's where Bernie's going. Citizens United. Okay, now after you boo, you have to start laughing. Thank you. Trump is the perfect Citizens United candidate. He goes, I don't want your money. I don't want your money. That some people who are pretty politically naive gravitate to that. Hey, this guy can't be bought. Yeah, but he can't think either. You know, I will give credit to Jeb Bush the other night when he did say, you know, you gotta come up with some policy. You gotta be able to say what you're gonna do. Well, I'm very militaristic. I'm gonna have the greatest military of all. That's deep. That's almost as deep as your governor right now. I mean, I tell you, when Bush left, I thought, my God, we're going to be short on material. But, you know, I was wrong. And then the other night, Bush, it turns to Trump and says, well, I know one thing about my brother. He kept us safe. Okay. Let me get this straight. We did not get hit on Bush's watch. The August 6, 2001 Crawford, Texas presidential daily briefing, President Bush was told that terrorists who have hit us before in the past plan to hijack commercial planes and fly them into buildings. Hey, let's go chop some wood. Hey. That's all right. I look into their eye. He's a good guy. But we didn't get hit on his watch. It wasn't important for Bush to protect the country until after we got hit. After we did the Patriot Act, after we threw billions of dollars into Afghanistan for over 10 years, and after he got out of office, and then the next guy had to get the guy who actually hit us, right? Now, correct me if I'm wrong now. I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't have total amnesia. They'll lie to you. Now, 2001. How many young kids are going to be voting this year? How many 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds are saying, gosh, you know, this guy Bernie and Hillary and then Trump, and I'm kind of infatuated with this Trump guy. He's got a lot of money. Maybe that could be me in life. And impressionable kids are being told that Bush kept us safe. Are you freaking kidding me? And the mainstream media sits there. And our next question is for you, Governor Walker. How's your economy in Wisconsin? I mean, look, they haven't changed a bit. But you know what? We haven't changed either. We know that civil rights, equal rights, women's rights, social justice, workers' rights is what built this country, and that's what's going to rebuild our country, and Bernie's going to lead us. God bless all of you. You can follow my work at WeGotEd.com. Let's keep up the fight. Let's not give up. Thank you. Thank you. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. WeGotEd.com. God bless Wisconsin. We'll see you again.
Do we love Ed Schultz in Wisconsin? We love that man. Ed Schultz, he saw it happening here. He told the world. It's because of Ed Schultz that everybody knows about what happened in Wisconsin. And when I asked Ed Schultz to come here, I was sitting on the set with him in New York. I said, would you come to Fighting Bob Fest? He said, when is it? I said, September 19th. He said, I'll be there. I said, what are the schedulers I need to talk to? Who do I need? He said, no, I'm there. Don't worry about it. And here he is.